We come to you again, and as you, most of you well know, we are studying together the last book in the Bible, the great prophetical book called the Revelation. It is really the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ as a judge in the midst of men, and the judgment proceeds from the throne. And you remember, when you come to the end of chapter 6, they want to be hidden from the one who sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, in our last lesson, we were dealing especially with the fifth trumpet. We're in chapter 9, and in verses 1 to 12, we had the fifth trumpet, and this had to do with a star that was fallen from heaven, and they opened the abyss, the place of demons, and you remember, they came forth from the pit, locusts, they looked like locusts, and they strike at men instead of nature. You remember, in the preceding blowing of the trumpets, in the preceding four judgments, very little is said about men being punished. He deals with the circumstances around men, such as the heavens and the earth and the sea, and God seeks by his judgments upon the surroundings of men to bring men to himself. Instead of that, men become more and more opposed to him. So, when you come to these last three blowing of the trumpets, we're dealing with the woes of God upon men. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. You remember we had that at the last verse of chapter 8. And then there was given to us in chapter 9, from verses 3 to 11, the description of these locusts. Their leader was Apollyon, and what their instructions were. Their instructions were to torment men for 5 months, not to kill them, and it was limited. And those who were punished, those who came out of the torture, this hellish torture from the pit, were those who did not have upon them the seal of God. And again, I say, one is reminded of what God promised Moses, that he would drive out the inhabitants of Palestine by his hornets. He would send these hornets. And this was literal. This was literally. You read Joshua chapter 24, and you'll notice it's very literal that God did exactly that thing. And now the effect upon men was, in verse 6, you remember, we read that men sought death and couldn't find it. There was no freedom. They had to go through the torture. Having refused the love of the truth, then God would send them strong delusion to believe the lie. And it was going to be hellish. And again, I say, when I see the conditions in the earth today, in our world, even in our own country, as we see the permissiveness and the lawlessness, and where morality has gone down the drain, I want to tell you, my friends, we've come to a time in the history of man where we can expect the coming of the Lord for the church and the beginning of the judgments of God. I say again, as I see conditions today and I read my Bible, I'm beginning to realize that we are seeing the forerunners of the judgments of God upon men. Now, I want you to turn to this chapter 9 of Revelation, and we come to the sixth trumpet, or the second woe. You remember verse 12 says, one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. That's 200 million men in the army. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat upon them, having breastplates of fire, of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. Out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, with them they do hurt. and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of their hands, of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their theft. Now, here we have the sixth trumpet, the second woe. And I say again, this is against men, as we had in the fifth trumpet. Now, notice in the first two or three verses, you have where the four angels are prepared for this very thing. Prepared for what? Verse 13 and 14 and 15. They're prepared for the slaying of one-third of the population of the world. Now, in chapter 7, four angels restrained evil. But in chapter 9, four angels loosed the forces of evil, of judgment. Now, these could be, I wouldn't be dogmatic on it, but these could be four fallen angels who had been chained. You remember in 2 Peter chapter 2, the 4th verse, where God keeps them in chains of darkness. The angels who kept not their first estate, the angels who sinned, are kept in chains of darkness, waiting judgment. And here they've been set free to loose the powers of the Euphrates, bound the great river Euphrates River, and so on. Now, you know that the Euphrates has always been the dividing line between the east and the west. You take in early civilization, this was the center. Babylon, Medo-Persia, this was the center of ancient civilization. It was also the center of idolatry. You remember that Nimrod, I'm reading from, or quoting from Genesis chapter 10, Nimrod was a mighty hunter against the Lord, and his city was called Babel, or Babylon. And Babylon has always been, right through the centuries, the center of opposition to God. If one were to take the time of going into the question of the Babylonian cult, which we may do when we come to chapters 15, 16, and 17, however, for the present, it was the center of religious rebellion against God. We had it also in chapter 11 of the book of Genesis, when they built a tower in opposition against God. Now, these angels were prepared for this particular job at a particular time. What for? To kill one-third of men. I just stop here. You remember in chapter 6, verse 8, at the breaking of one of the seals, one quarter of the men were destroyed. Now, supposing there are 4 billion people on the face of the earth today, and I understand that there are about 4 billion people, inhabitants of the earth, today on the earth. Now, if that's true, and the Lord were to come, the judgment were to start, that would mean in chapter 6 of Revelation that 1 billion people were liquidated through the judgment, one quarter of the population of the world. Now, that leaves 3 billion. Now, in this one, we have one-third part of men were destroyed, were slain. That means one-third of 3 billion. That means one more billion. So out of these two judgments in chapter 6 and chapter 9, one-half of the population of the world is liquidated. It's pretty hard to think of that, isn't it? Huh? And here's one judgment of God when 1 billion people are slain. That's what you have here in verse 15. To slay the third part of men. And the army that came across, an army that was prepared for slaughter, was an army of 200 millions who are vicious, they're hellish. You notice what you have in verses 17 and 18 and 19. I saw the horses of them. They had breastplates of fire, jacinth, and brimstone. The heads of the horses were the heads of lions. Out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Their power is in their mouth and in their tails. for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. Let me just stop here a moment. Here is an army of 200 million coming from the east. Do you remember we read of the fact that it was prepared for the great army from the east? And you remember not too long ago, Mao of China said that he could put an army of 200 million in the field. Rather remarkably, he should use that same number. Don't you think so? Put 200 million in the field. You know, I was thinking about this week, as I've been reading my newspapers and trying to keep up on the news. When I think here is China. China is opposed to Israel, the armies of the East. Russia and her satellites are opposed to the Jew, that's the king of the North. All the Arab world is opposed to the Jew, that's the king of the South. And then you have the Western powers would be headed up by the willful king. And by the way, I'm quoting from the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel. But to me, it's a remarkable thing that the same number used here, written by John in the first century, should be mentioned by Mao of China when he said we can put 200 million men into the field. I tell you, friend, when you think of it, you've got fire, brimstone. One is reminded of the book of Genesis chapter 19, when Sodom and Gomorrah were burned up by fire and brimstone. And then I began to think, too, could this not be a little incident? It could be a little intimation of the kind of war that they'll engage in. Here's atomic warfare with your smoke, with your fire, with your brimstone, as you have it in verse 17. Do you ever think of it? When I think of China today with its great army of 200 million, when I think of the way they've gone way ahead of our scientists in thought, and scientists said that China couldn't catch up with us. They've gone way ahead of the timing of our scientists. Tell you, my friend, the time is so short. Christian friend, let me give to you Hebrews 10:37. For he that shall come, and will not tarry. We can expect the coming of the Lord now. Why, Mr. Mitchell, do you really believe that the Lord could come today? I certainly do believe that. I'm not setting any time. He may come today. I know one thing for sure. He is going to come. When he will come is in the Father's hand. But when I see conditions today and read my Bible, I can't help but come to the conclusion that the coming of the Lord Jesus for the church is very, very, very close. And notice again, I say, the number of men here who were killed. One-third of all men were killed. And counting that other one, if I may go back to chapter 6, where you find that even here, one-quarter of the population of the world. That's chapter 6, verse 8, if you want it. Now the result of it, and I want you to get this too, the result of this terrible judgment, verses 20 and 21. And I read, and the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Will you please notice? The result of this, all that the judgments of God did was to make them opposed to God. They repented not. They repented not. The judgments of God did not change their attitude to God. Notice in verse 20, you have them, they're religious. They're extremely religious. They repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols and so on. My friend, to me, I've been amazed, and yet I shouldn't be. In the past 2 or 3 or 4 years here in America, those who were worshippers of Satan, of the devil, of demons, is becoming more and more and more apparent. You remember in 1 Timothy chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul says in the first verse, "In the last days there shall be an apostasy, that is, they shall depart from the faith, and shall give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons." Now listen, I'm not saying that. It's what the Word of God says. And when I see that thing right now in America, with Bibles in nearly every home, churches on nearly every corner, all through this whole, thousands upon thousands of Christian churches, and yet right in the very middle of it, we've got these things that are absolutely anti-Christian. We have the different cults, and we have the worship of demons. We have a humanistic philosophy. These humanists believe that we don't need Christ, and we don't need God, and we don't need heaven. We have those who say that the day of Christianity is over. It's through. It's had its day. It's done. You see, the world is very, very fast preparing to worship the beast, to be opposed to God, and even though the judgments of God were poured upon them, so that 1/3 of the population of the world was in this one judgment, were liquidated, there is no turning to God. They repented not of their idolatry. And that's their religion. Now, when we get to chapter 13 of Revelation, we'll go more into that, where they worship the beast. Or in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where they're going to worship the Antichrist. Now, in verse 21, we have their deeds. "Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thoughts." Well, you notice their deeds. Murders. Sorceries. We just stop there a moment. That's a great word. It has to do with all kinds of necromancy. It means to enchant. It means to drug. Yes, drugs are in here on this thing. In fact, the word here implicates drugs. And oh, I'm so sorry to say that today. We're so soft, we lean backwards, and now we're going to close out some of our laws which are against drug taking and so forth and so on. If ever there was a time, and I speak now for the years that I have been a Christian, if ever there was a time when we see the world moving fast to judgment, to the wrath of God, my friend, we're in high gear, and there are still so many not saved. Will you notice? They repented not. They repented not of their religion. They repented not of their deeds. And may I say, their deeds, murders, fornication, sorceries, enchantments, drugs, thefts, is the footage of ruling God out of their lives. And when a person says to me, "Why, Mr. Mitchell, you know, I'm closer to God when I've had some drugs." No, friend, you're further away from God. Your worship will be satanic. I'm sorry to say that, but it's true. And oh, I would just plead with you Christians, first of all, today. We haven't got much time left to bear testimony for the Savior. May you and I redeem the time in these evil days. And if I'm talking to any who have never accepted the Savior, my friend, there's not much time left for you either to accept the Savior. The day of grace is about come to an end. And instead of the mercy of God being upon you, you'll have the judgment of God upon you. Let me close with that verse in Acts chapter 17, where Paul in verse 30 said to the philosophical Athenians, "The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Why? "Because he has set apart a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." Oh, friend, Jesus Christ is either your Savior or he's going to be your judge. and it's in your hands. God's given you the capacity to choose Christ as your Savior, or He'll be your judge. May God grant that you'll accept Him today. The best way you know how, take Jesus Christ into your own heart and life, put your trust in Him as your own personal Savior.